Tonight we have the chance to take a look at a unique intersection of Parshas HaShavua and Inyana Diyoma. It might be that Parshas HaShavua is always Inyana Diyoma. Certainly true that the Minig Yisrael, for I'm not sure how long, maybe centuries, has treated the Parsha as a little bit Inyana Diyoma. You know, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, a real din, an ancient din, of learning Hilchas Chag B'Chag, to learn the Halachas of a Yom Tov. During the Yom Tov, that actually is based on a Pasuk at the beginning of Revi. Mo'adei Hashem Shatikru'u Osam. I believe this is the source. Gemara Megillah says that you know every Yom Tov you discuss the Yom Tov. So there is that's the real source or idea of Inyana Diyoma. The Gemara expands even to the Shloshim Yom Kodem on Pesach. And one of the ways in which that's reflected, perhaps, is in the Kriyas HaTorah of the Yomim Tovim, revolve around the themes of the Yom Tov. And the Haftarah as well revolves around the themes of the Yom Tov. And the Haftarah is, in a sense, a very sensitive barometer of Inyana Diyoma. Because not only does the Haftarah reflect, if it's Yom Tov time, but the Haftarah reflects even more minor types of Inyana Diyoma. Now you have the Haftarah switches from Parsha to reflect the Gimel de Peronusa, the 3 weeks between the Shavuot B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, and then the Haftarah turns for the next 7 weeks to reflect the period of Nechama, and so on and so forth. The Haftarah is very sensitive. It's sort of a very sensitive meter for detecting Inyana Diyoma. So thought in the past that perhaps the fact that when there's no other Inyana Diyoma, the Haftarah reflects Parshas HaShavua, perhaps a conjecture that expresses the fact that, you know, Parsha is also sort of a lower level, so to speak, of Inyana Diyoma. And that's perhaps why Minig Yisrael is, you discuss the Parsha. You get up to speak at a Simcha, or some other event, and perhaps it's even reflecting the din of a Shnei Mikvech HaTargum. This is, that to a certain extent, the Parsha Shavua is in Yonah Dioma of that week. Be that as it may, that's sort of a possibility to get the juices flowing tonight. Be that as it may, Parshas Emor for certain is in Yonah Dioma. Because Parshas Emor, we're presented with the first of the three major Parshios HaMoedim in Chumash. We have Parshas Emor here, is the from Revi'i, Chamishi, and Shishi, is the first of the major presentations on the Yom Tovim in great detail in Chumash. That's the Parshas HaMoedim Vayikra. And then Pinchas, you have the Parshas HaMoedim of Bamidbar, and Re'eh, you have the Parshas HaMoedim of Chumash Devarim. The Pinchas, of course, is the focus on Musafim. Re'eh, the focus is to a certain extent on Aliyah L'Regel. And here in Amor, we have all the a focus on the Mitzvah Hayom, the Mitzvah Hayom of the various Yemim Tovim, going through every single one, from Pesach all the way through till Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. And here it's not just about Aliyah L'Regel, so there's a focus on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and a focus on Sfiras HaOmer, which appears both here and in Chumash Re'eh. And in Sfiras HaOmer, of course, we have the intersection of Parsha and absolute in Yonah Diyoma. Absolute in Yonah Diyoma. And every year. And more is always during Sfiras HaOmer. Rashi tells us, and we think about Sfiras HaOmer, the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer, so you probably think about the topics that some of us have had the chance to learn together Monday nights in the Ian Chaburis. So what happens if you miss a night, and you count the days, you count the weeks, and so on and so forth. A lot of the fascinating lamdas and halacha l'maisa that has a fair amount of real estate in Shulchan Aruch. It's an entire siman tuf pei tes. All the details of the process of Sfiras HaOmer. What time do you count? What happens if you miss a day? So on and so forth. Now, do I have to count myself? Can I be yotzei with you? How about the bracha? In the Gemara, though, in the Gemara, in Maseches Menachos, the bulk, the vast majority of the Sugya Sfira Sa'omer is not about how to count. How to count is really four lines at the very end of the Sugya. The majority of the Sugya, well over a blot, is about when you begin. And that entire Sugya of when you begin, really all is encapsulated in one Rashi. Torah tells us, Perek Chav Gimel begins perhaps with Shabbos, and then Karban Pesach, the Yom Tov of Pesach, and Chag HaMatzos, and then the second day of Pesach, you bring the Karban HaOmer, that begins in Perek Tes. And then Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes Vav Sfira Somer Usfartum Lachem Imachor Sashabas Miyom Haviachem Es Omer HaTenufa. Torah didn't tell us in the previous paragraph exactly when we bring the Karban HaOmer, but here it tells us that the same day you bring the Karban HaOmer is the day you begin Sfira Somer, and that's Mimachor Sashabas, the day after the Shabbos. So Rashi tells us, first Rashi in Pasuk Tezvav, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tezvav, here in Parshas Emor, Mimachros HaShabbos, Mimachros Yom Tov. The here Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos Bereishis, doesn't mean Saturday, doesn't mean the seventh day of the week, what we usually call Shabbos. The full name for that is Shabbos Bereishis, so Shabbos going back to Bereishis. But rather, here Shabbos means Here Shabbos means Yom Tov. We just, a few psukim earlier, learned and reviewed what we learned in Chumash Shemos, the B'chamish Asar Yom L'Chosh Hazeh, the 15th of Nisan is the first day of, it's the first day of the Yom Tov of Pesach, Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzos, and the Torah tells Pasuk Zion that today it's Asar B'Melacha, Kol Melechas Havoda Lo Sasu, you can't do Melacha except for Ochel Nefesh. So Rashi tells us that's the Mimachos HaShabbos. It means the day after the first day of Yom Tov Pesach. And that's what we know. The Karban HaOmer is brought, as the Mishnayos tell us in Menachos, on the first day of Chol Moed Pesach, the second day of Pesach. And Sfiras HaOmer happens, begins the first night of Chol Moed Pesach, the second night of Pesach. And that's what Rashi presents as a simple fact. You look in the Gemara, the Gemara has a long discussion, and it's an intriguingly inverted sugya. By which I mean, usually, a long masumata in the Gemara, a long shakavatari Gemara, usually you have two different psukim, two different opinions, two different shittas what the din should be, and the Gemara will try to figure out, how come this one says asr, this one says mutter? How come this one says pasul, this one says kasher? And often they're looking at the same pasuk in different ways, same parsha in the Torah, and different ways of parsing, and different ways of interpreting, breaking down what are these psukim telling you? And once in a long while, a few times in Shas, you have an inverted sugya, where it runs the other way around. This is one of those few exceptions. The sugya, samachay, samachvav, and menachos, to determine the date, to interpret this Mimacharas HaShabbos in Parshas Emor. So the Gemara, it's a backwards sugya. Many different, the machlokas is not what's the conclusion. Everyone agrees Mimacharas HaShabbos means Mimacharas Yom Tov. The machlokas is just, where do you see it in the psukim? Many, a host of different interpretations. Tanam Amaram, where do you see a ra'ah in the psukim? Psukim in Chumash, Psukim in Yoshua. To prove what seems to be a foregone conclusion. So the Rama points out in his Akdama to the Pirush Mishnayos that the rare times that you see this sort of dynamic, this inverted type of sugya, you have it here, you have it in terms of interpreting a pre-Eitz Hadar, that it means Esrog. It's really a very, also a term here later on, a couple of sugum later in Parshas Emor, and Ayin Tachas Ayin. So Rambam says, whenever you have this sort of inverted sugya where everyone agrees to the conclusion, machlokas is how you get there, what that means is that this is one of those rare cases where the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, here's what the pasuk means. Usually, when the Tanam Amaram Darshan Psukim, they're actually trying to figure out what should the din be. They don't know, and they're looking, they're using the Chumash HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe and Har Sinai, to interpret the Chumash, to mine and discover the additional levels of meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left embedded in the text of Chumash for the Chachmei HaDor, Chachmei HaTorah to discover. Usually, 99% of the time, drushas are a discovery process. And that's why two Tanam could look at the same sukkim and use their toolbox and analyze and sometimes come to different conclusions. Because they're trying to discover, look into the Chumash to figure out what does it mean. But this is one of those rare times when that's not what's happening. It's what the Rambam calls a Perish HaMekubal. The interpretation was Mekubal. It was already tradition. Mimoshe Rabbeinu, that's a type of what we would call a Halacha Moshe Min Sinai. Halacha Moshe Min Sinai usually means a fact. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that that the shear of a sukkah is such and such. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the shear of achila is kazayis. Usually halachas Moshe Rabbeinu are facts. But every once in a while you have a perish hamakubo. Hashem wasn't just telling Moshe Rabbeinu a din, a fact. He told him how to interpret, how to read this line, the Chumash. So one of them is Mimachar Sashavos. And another one is Priyei Tzadar. Priyei Tzadar means in Esrei. Mimachar Sashavos means the second day of Pesach, not Sunday. So Rambam says, whenever you see this sort of inverted sugya, that's what it means. You have a Pirush HaMekubal. Now this Pirush HaMekubal, Menachos HaShabbos, happens to have a lot of the Mishnayos tell us, not Menachos, but in Rosh Hashanah, that there was a lot of fascinating history that surrounded this Pirush HaMekubal. Because in the era of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin had to grapple, the Rabbanim, and Sanhedrin in particular, had to grapple with this group of Jews called Sadukim, who had developed this apikursus, this kvir, this heresy, to reject the traditional interpretation of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, to reject the Torah Shel Peh, and they felt they could they were just going to follow the literal meaning of Torah Shebichsav. Now, Torah Shebichsav needs interpretation. By design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us every detail in the Chumash. It's often not implementable, the Chumash alone. But they basically developed their own. They tried as much as possible to stick to the literal meaning of the Chumash, and these Tzedukim, when they needed to, they would come up with their own interpretations. And they had the spiritual descendants in later generations, the Karaites in the days of the Gaonim and the Rishonim. Same basic type of kfira, same heresy, of rejecting the traditional interpretation of the Chumash Misinai. So the Tzedukim, this became a hot spot. The Tzedukim were convinced that we should bring the Karban HaOmer on Sunday, and therefore that 7 weeks later we should celebrate Shavuos on Sunday. Now, Shechter is fond of pointing out that the Christian focus on Sunday, and specifically not just every Sunday every week, but specifically Easter Sunday and Pentecost, which is Chag HaChamishim, 7 weeks later on a Sunday, that's a carryover from the Tzedukim during the Bais Sheni period. The literal misreading of Mimachras HaShavos. And there's another historical ramification of this battle between the Rabbanim and Lahavdil the Tzedukim about how to interpret Mimachas HaShabbos. Not only did it spill over, in later centuries to Christian practice, but the entire reality of Sveika Diyoma is a result of this rift. Because the Mishnayos tell us, during the Bais Rishon period, there was no issue of Sveika Diyoma. The Jews all lived, within a couple of days' travel of Yerushalayim, which was a seat of the Sanhedrin, and within a couple of days, the entire Jewish people during the Bais Rishon period, would know when Rosh Chodesh had been established. So by the time it came the 10th of Tishrei for Yom Kippur, or the 15th of Nisan for Pesach, the Jews already knew. They had heard within a couple of days when Rosh Chodesh had been set. They knew how to keep the Yom Tov. By Sheni, Psukim tell us, and say for Ezra, most Jews didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael for the Bais Sheni. Most Jews stayed in Bavel, and over the course of time, Jews spread further afield, probably further towards India and around the Mediterranean. And How are they going to know when the Sanhedrin back in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, had determined the date of Rosh Chodesh? So as we know, the Mishnayos tell us that during the early period of the Bayis Sheni period, of the Bayis Sheni, there was a very, very efficient system. They had a series of torches on different hilltops, and in Yerushalayim they would light a torch if they had been Mekadesh the Chodesh on the first of the two options. And 10, 20, 30 miles down, the next hilltop, there was a Jew waiting with a torch, ready to light it. When he saw the first torch was waving, he would light his torch and begin to do Nanun with his torch, and then the third mountain, and so on and so forth. And the information would spread within a couple of minutes, hundreds of miles, almost at the speed of light. It was an incredibly efficient system. And for the first segment of the Bayis Sheni era, there was no Sveika Dioma, because Jews in Bavel found out within a matter of minutes which day was Rosh Chodesh. There's no Sveika Dioma. You knew right away. The reason why they had to change, the Mishnayos tells us, Mishakilkulu Haminim. It was when the Apikursim ruined everything. And the Gemara explains that's a reference to the Minim are specifically the Tzedukim, and specifically, but our Pasuk. They were trying to manipulate and falsify when Rosh Chodesh was, so that they could, over the course of months, maneuver the calendar so that Rosh Chodesh Nisan would fall out on Shabbos, so that even if the Rabbanim were running the Beis HaMikdash, they would end up bringing the Karban HaOmer on Sunday, because if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Shabbos, the 16th of Nisan is on a Sunday. So they would start, the Stukim would start months in advance to try to falsify, sort of, you know, tweak when Rosh Chodesh was, and put out the wrong message to the Jewish people. They would have their own rogue torches, and that way they could maneuver things, manipulate things to get their, have their way, Mimarchus HaShabbos being Sunday. Because of that problem, because of that Stukey insistence on this heretical misreading, Rabbanim realized that the only solution was to cut out the torches, which are incredibly efficient, but there's no way to verify. You can't see from 20 miles away who is waving the torch. They had to instead move to sending out human messengers to actually physically visit different towns and tell them. A human messenger actually shows up, you know, on horseback, on camelback, so you can verify his bona fides. You can see who he is. Maybe we'll have something in writing from the Sanhedrin, or maybe we'll just recognize who he is. We know that he's not from the Tzedukim. So there's greater verification. But the efficiency is lost. Now, instead of a matter of minutes, it could be a matter of days and weeks for the information to travel. And so began Sveika Dioma. Sveika Dioma began during the period of the Bayis Sheni, because it's Tzedukim. It lasted all the way up until the middle of the period of the Amoraim, when the Romans finally ended Smicha and thereby ended the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. So for those couple of centuries, there was an actual Sveika Dioma. Our practice Sveika Dioma was based on those centuries. But again, Jews were spread for hundreds of miles away from Eretz Yisrael before there was a Sveika Dioma, because the torch system was only retired and Sveika Dioma began because of the debate over how to read Mimarchas HaShabbos. And that's why the Gemara again stresses, to begin to end where we began, the Gemara stresses. And that is the bulk of the Sfiras HaOmer Sugya in the Gemara. Not in Shulchan Aruch, where it's a given. But in the Gemara, the bulk of the Sfiras HaOmer Sugya is, how do you read Mimarchas HaShabbos? Many different proofs to corroborate what's already a Pirush HaMakubal anyhow. What's already the Pirush Lemosha Misinai, directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mimarchas HaShabbos actually means the day after the first day of Yom Tov, not necessarily a particular day of the week. Abosai, thank you so much for calling in. We will continue the Parsha Bursts of Mirtz Hashem Tuesday evening. We'll have a chance to take a look at a Ramban on Parsha Zamar. Perhaps we'll take a look at a beautiful Ramban. Once again, the intersection of Inyan Dioma, to take a look at Ramban's comments on the quality of Sfiras HaOmer, as is in evidence in the way the Torah presents Sfiras HaOmer in the parashas. We'll move from sort of the halachic and historical aspects of Sfiras HaOmer tonight to Tuesday, looking at the machshava implications of Sfiras HaOmer. Thank you so much for calling in.